Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. We love anonymous polls, whether it's executives or coaches. This is the Anon show right here. We love people not putting their name on
things. Anon.
Yes.
And or player Anon or anything.
Anything. Yeah. We love it.
As long as it comes from a relatively trustworthy source.
I know Clint hates it.
Clint
wants everybody's name on everything.
I think it's silly as hell.
Yeah, he thinks it's silly as hell.
And Clint's like he's in the prostitution business. He's like, can't we just do this without the sex part?
Oh, yeah. Or the money.
Like,
sex is fine.
This is the whole, I'd like to be a whore, but not if I have to have sex with other people for money.
Glad it's 903. All right, so let's, the Athletic polled 110 NFL players on several, I think, very interesting questions. I don't know if you've looked at the results yet, Seth.
I have not. I control left for CJ Stroud.
Okay.
And saw some votes for him for MVP and all that stuff. But yeah.
Who will be the next?
To be clear, this was done in August before the season began.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who will be the next active NFL player to win his first MVP award? Now, keep in mind, it's been since, like, the last player not in the league, like Tom Brady in 2017, I think, is the last MVP award that's been handed out to somebody who's not in the league anymore.
Okay.
Because it's been
somebody who just retired.
It's been Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, or Aaron Rodgers since then. All three of them have won all the MVP awards. Who do you think is the one the players picked to be the next active NFL player to win an MVP?
I think it was Josh Allen.
It was. Okay. Yeah, it was Josh Allen. 17.6%. Joe Burrow, number two. Christian McCaffrey, number three. Now, again, good on you pointing out this was taken in August.
Yeah.
I'm guessing all the Christian McCaffrey votes would go to somebody else.
What's his injury status now?
Two Achilles tendonitis issues.
I saw somebody did that. I thought they might have come up with an even a different clarification of what it was, but it sounds weird, and it's tough to... Sure, Cam Akers
ain't good.
Come back from two torn Achilles tendons, but two active Achilles tendinosis.
Yes.
That sounds difficult.
CJ Stroud, fourth.
Yeah.
7.8%.
So as of before the season began.
Yep.
Yep.
So I think, and that kind of matches up with what, you know, other than Burrow and McCaffrey, you know, that's Allen and Stroud are right in the mix.
A lot of what CJ's going through right now in terms of his production, and, you know, there haven't been eye-popping numbers necessarily, is a lot of what Pat Mahomes went through. Really, the last year Tyreek Hill was there, where the defenses were just taking the top off, and Pat Mahomes had to learn how to just bide your time, take your opportunities where they're. CJ's been very open about that, and I think he has the maturity level to do it, and I think he's doing a good job of it. But it's one of those things where, all right, this is a new challenge to figure out, and I expect it, just as it did in the fourth quarter of the Jaguars game, I think it's going to get better and better. I think it's going to look snappier and snappier.
If you were starting an NFL team from scratch, this is question number two. Again, these are 110 anonymous NFL players voting on this. Who would be the first non-quarterback that you would draft if you were starting an NFL team from scratch? So non-quarterback.
If it was non-quarterback, I'm guessing the top vote getter at this point, going into this season, it was either going to be a wide receiver or a cornerback.
Okay.
And that wide receiver would be Justin Jefferson. The cornerback would be Sauce Gardner.
Okay, the Justin Jefferson, number two.
Okay.
So I'm going to give a ding for that one, Ben. Number one, Tyreek Hill. So you had the right position.
Oh, to start a franchise with?
To start a franchise.
That's interesting. Non-quarterback. These guys aren't. Okay, but Tyreek Hill's getting...
He's 30.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
That was really dumb.
Yes.
That was a dumb move by them.
Yeah.
What the hell are you guys doing?
You want to hear some other stuff? Texans?
I would bring that up. I would find out who those people were and then use it against them in negotiations.
Two Texans got votes in this. They each got one vote.
Yeah.
Will Anderson Jr.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
This is best young player?
Which non-quarterback would you draft to start an NFL team?
Oh, these are the guys
team?
That got votes. Okay,
yeah, these are guys that got votes in addition. Yeah. Laremy Tunsil got a vote.
Oh, okay.
So my question, do you think Laremy Tunsil voted for himself?
No, I think Laremy Tunsil, especially amongst guys who are pass rushers, edge rushers, they very, very much respect his pass blocking ability.
Yeah.
I think in Houston, we've been more... we've seen the full deal. We've seen him miss an entire season with an injury that was supposed to be a 3-week injury and just was mysteriously washed by the wayside. We've seen him not being all that eager to be a run blocker. We've seen the false starts and all of that. That I think sometimes a lot of the players are thinking, oh, this guy's going to keep me from getting sacks. And that's what matters to them. I think when you watch the full and see the full picture, there's reasons that he's not a perennial All-Pro.
Yes.
There's reasons he's not Trent Williams,
yep.
Basically.
I was anxious to ask these two of you, because I'm guessing you've got an answer to these from your time as a player. Favorite NFL road trip? Which place do you like to go play? What do you think players say?
All right, so for actual game day experience.
But now some are answering based on the
city.
I know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's actual game day experience versus the guys who maybe have a little too much fun when they're on the road.
And both are reflected.
I'm going to say, based on game day experience, I would say the Steelers.
Okay.
Based on, this is a Brave New World in which there's a football team in Las Vegas. I'm going to have to say Las Vegas.
Vegas is two.
Yeah.
The other answer, the answer that's number one, also would not have been available to you when you were a player, which is Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
LA is number one, 16.7%. Vegas is number two. That's interesting. That the two, I'm asking you this question, and the two that finished one and two weren't even cities that were in the league.
With LA, part of it is the stadium itself.
Yeah.
It's a really cool and unique environment, that pavilion feel they have there.
Well, to the point, they point out that some guys answer because they like to go visit those cities.
Yeah.
Vegas and LA fit that. Seattle's number three.
That's just in a badass environment.
And I think that's what those guys are in. Clearly, they're not answering because I can't wait to go to Seattle.
The only two times I played in Seattle. One was at the University of Washington while they were building the new stadium.
Yeah.
The other was when we were just getting bludgeoned deep into the earth on a Sunday night football game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was impressed with how loud everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
I did challenge one of the 12th men to a fist fight.
You did?
Yeah. So I guess I would say I wasn't one of my favorite experiences, but I did try to pull a guy down out of the stands on my way
out. You reached for him?
No, I just told him. I was like, yeah, come on down. You know what it was?
Yeah.
Is this guy who was really, really loud as we went into as we came out of the tunnel and as we went into the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
But it was after the game had been over since the second quarter.
Right.
And this guy was still being like just as big a D-bag at the end of the game. And that's where I just snapped. Then I went and I broke stuff in the locker room. It was...
Wow.
That was about as angry as I've ever been as an adult, I think.
Yeah, a moment.
Yeah.
By the way, the Texans got four votes in the favorite road trip. Houston got a few votes
in
that thing. Yeah, a few people. Got to be the strip clubs, right?
I wouldn't know. Going back to Charles Barkley and what he said about our establishments.
All right. Least favorite road trip.
Mm.
So that was favorite road trip. Guys love L.A. They love Vegas. They love the environment in Seattle. Handful of other places. What do you think the least favorite road trip? And then I want to get what your least favorite road trip is.
Least favorite road trip?
For NFL players.
What, Vegas, Indianapolis. What did CJ call Indianapolis?
A sorry city.
A sorry city,
Indy doesn't even really show up. I don't think Indy got like one vote.
Okay.
The least favorite is Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Weather.
Yeah, I guess so. No, that's just, I guess they, there's... I think more guys
Green
go
Bay
out.
Green Bay is a great atmosphere.
I guess
though.
I think more guys go out and partake of the local tourism stuff or something maybe than I realized even when I was a player. I was always holed up in my room, like looking over my game plan and stuff.
Yeah.
Nerd. I liked going to Green Bay because it was so unique. It was just such a unique environment, and it's a storied part of the history.
You got the Packer Hall of Fame there?
The thing that does stink is I think we stayed.
Oh, Appleton.
You stay in Appleton.
Yeah.
So, like, the game day of just driving in Appleton feels.
Your ways away.
Nothing even interesting about driving into Appleton.
No.
So, I can get that.
Green Bay. Buffalo, number two.
They didn't like Buffalo?
Buffalo, number two, 12%.
Mm.
New York, number three.
New York, like as the Jets or the Giants?
New York City. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you that part. I think that there's a little bit of. Guys doing the math of, like, what's the chances I can make it into the city from New Jersey and back in time to where I don't get fined? You're sitting there in New Jersey looking at the skyline of Manhattan and feeling like you've been invited to a party. Mm-hmm. And then you get there and you realize, like, oh, there's two parties. There's the real party in the VIP area. And then there's this, we're out here on the periphery. Yeah.
Good news, Houston, zero votes in the least favorite.
Place to go.
Okay. So there's nobody that hates... coming to Houston. Text message, Seth was yelling at the Seattle fan, "You suck! You suck too! You suck too!"
That was me. That was me.
That's why I find Bill O'Brien so fascinating.
I feel like
a lot of Bill O'Brien's challenges are the same challenges that I've faced in life. And if I had stayed in football, I had been a football coach, I never would have. I would have never had some of what I hope is some of the personal growth.
Yeah.
I feel like O'Brien needs to take a sabbatical for 2 years somewhere. Just go live in a monastery somewhere and just kind of get some perspective on things.
I think that's what Boston College is for him.
Yeah.
That's his equivalent.
It's a seminary.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which stadium has the best field service in the NFL?
Oh.
Who cares?
Well, no. Who got that?
Levi Stadium, San Francisco. Santa Clara. Mm-hmm. Won that. NRG Stadium got 2 votes. Okay, where's the one I really wanted to get to? Oh, has Taylor Swift's presence at Chiefs games been a positive or a negative or neither?
What do they say?
What do you think?
I say positive.
It is positive is a winner. What do you think the number is?
I thought that the answer would be yes, positive.
Yeah.
Number 67%.
72% said positive. I'm going to give Seth a ding for that one. Yeah.
Nice.
Where is the one I wanted here? It is, come on now. Oh, here it is. The most annoying player in the NFL. This guy won in a landslide, and I never would have guessed this.
Oh, really? It used to be Travis Kelce, but now that's
Travis Kelce is tied for 5th.
Yeah, Travis Kelce used to be routinely on lists of most annoying player in the NFL.
Taylor's been good for him in that realm, I think.
He's had to become the beta.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, okay, here's somebody who's actually good at drawing attention.
And plus, he's not as good at football as he used to be.
That's true.
Yeah, that
helps. Most annoying player in the NFL right now, Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun Watson is not among the most annoying, and I don't even see Deshaun Christian.
Oh, Russell
Watson.
Wilson?
Russell Wilson? No, he's not among the top 5. He's in the also receiving votes, but he's not among the top 5.
Okay.
There are 2 Texans that got votes, but they're not in the top 5. You're never going to guess the winner.
Really?
CJ Gardner-Johnson is the winner.
Oh,
21%.
Yeah, because he's chirpy.
He's chirpy.
He's chirpy. He gets
but you would have sat here a long time trying to guess.
Yeah,
that,
because
probably.
He's still not name brand enough that you're. Yeah, but I bet that vote was spread out all the hell all over the place. But he's a guy that enough guys really dislike based on in-game stuff.
Christian Wilkins, number 2 on the list.
Oh. He's real chirpy during the game, but in a funny way, but in a little bit of a slightly corny way.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm guessing they're like, this cornball, and what the hell?
Yep.
No. This guy?
Max Crosby, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he was the one that kept tweaking Patrick Mahomes on quarterback.
Yeah, and he kind of likes to play up. He likes to try to play up the Raiders.
Why are you going after my knee? Brandon Graham, 4, and then Jamal Adams is tied with Travis Kelce for 5th.
Mm-hmm.
2 Houston Texans got multiple votes in this thing. Okay. Current Houston Texans got multiple votes in this thing. Don't look too far. Think about this weekend's game. Buffalo.
Oh, Stephon Diggs.
Diggs got a couple of votes.
So Stephon Diggs, that makes sense.
Yep.
I understand it.
Yes.
I wouldn't have voted for him, but I get it.
This one, I think you and I would understand because
Jimmy Ward.
No. Dalton Schultz.
Oh, yeah.
Dalton Schultz got 2 votes as most annoying, which my guess is both the votes were from EJ Speed and Zaire Franklin.
Yeah, they talk about how Dalton will go after you and he'll talk smack afterwards and everything. Yeah, and I think that with some of that, there's a little bit of like, they don't expect that out of bro from Stanford.
Right.
Yeah. And they're like,
Jimmy Ward was a good guess by you, though. I bet Jimmy Ward bothers some people out on the field.
There's a little bit of an element of just guys that, you know, like to think themselves tough guy and everything, and all of a sudden, Dalton Schultz is talking smack to
him. That's right.
And it's an affront. To their, they feel like they're not, Dalton's not respecting their gangsta.
Yep.
You know? Damn right.
The Stanford gangsta.
Yeah.
Text message. Hey guys, I really love your show, but when are we going to get real about the Texans? Ooh. CJ Stroud would not receive a single MVP vote if they were voting today. Oh, I hate this text page. Today. The defense has not been good against any offense in the D'Amico Ryans era unless you count dropped fourth down passes and numerous overthrows to wide open receivers by their opponent. They are not a good football team.
Well,
this is
interesting because this is somebody who I guess hasn't been listening for the last 4 weeks. At what point during this football team being 3-1 where we come in after victories and we're like, what the hell is up with this football team? At what point do you feel like we haven't been realistic about the Tigers? If I once in the last 4 weeks said, oh yeah, that looks like a Super Bowl caliber football team.
You have not.
If I at any point this week not said that they could easily be 1-3 or 0-4 at this point.
Said it three times this show.
How do you want me to be real about this football team? They've beat some bad teams and made those games closer than they should have been. They got destroyed by a good football team with the Minnesota Vikings. So at what point have I been unrealistic about how the Texans have performed so far? We want to get real about the Houston Texans. Is that right?
Yeah.
What do I need to say? What has been so unrealistic about what I've said about the Houston Texans?
We'll find out.
Give me an example.
Yeah.
Give me an example. Yeah, like you bring up, he's bringing up things that we've brought up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, okay, so your argument is that in saying the exact same things that we've said, we're not being realistic about. Tell me the specific things I've said about the I gave CJ Stroud a B for his performance so far this year. That's not an MVP performance.
Right.
Tell me specifically the things that I've said that have been unrealistic about the Texans. I hold you to a higher standard.
Text him.
That's a D minus. I grade you a D minus over the first course of the season.
Well, he did say he loves our show. I like that part of the text. That part is accurate.
I will not extinguish any of this fire, Sean.
I don't know.
I need you to tell me specifically where I have been unrealistic about the Texans.
The texter, with all due respect, maybe this is the first 5 minutes you've been listening to the show that you love so much.
Yeah.
We have been. There are times where I feel like, God, I need to dial it back. Am I too negative about a 3-1 football team?
It's three times this season on a Monday afternoon. I'm like, they did win the game, what the hell?
I also disagree that C.J. Stroud would not receive a single MVP vote if the voting were today. I don't think this texter realizes how backwards quarterback play has been this year.
Yeah.
And that you can vote for five. Like, you get five names on the ballot.
You get five ballot names.
It were like it used to be and it was just one name on the ballot, then I can deal with that. But CJ would get votes for MVP early on. They're a 3-1 team that's the 2 seed in the AFC right now.
Yeah, everybody's kind of hit the pause.
He's fourth on the odds board for MVP.
Fourth on the odds board for MVP. That's the closest to objectivity that we could have in that. Our homer
glasses.
It's
like 8-1 to win the MVP. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. That was fun. How'd that feel?
Just going ham a little bit.
Yeah, that was good. I liked it.
Yeah, no, it comes from a source of frustration. The frustration about this team right now is every damn thing we've been saying that dude claims we haven't been saying is they're capable of more, but they have not performed like that.
Yep.
They have not performed like a Super Bowl caliber. This is a year where you could realistically, looking at it on paper, say they should make a push for the Super Bowl, but they haven't once this season genuinely looked like a Super Bowl caliber team.
All right, the Davante Adams talks are starting to take shape a little bit. Are we concerned about the suitors for Davante Adams? And one team in the AFC South, at least according to one source, is ready to circle the drain and go down the toilet. We will let you hear that coming up next as well.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll put a bow on the Astros season in the final segment of the show today.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So I'll never feel bad about it again?
And on to football, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll never feel like I'm lost in space, just kind of spinning with no thruster rockets to write
myself out
or anything.
This is new territory. We'll find out. I'm curious. You know what? Text in. What do you plan on doing with your free time that you have now that the Astros, now that you don't have to block out 4 hours a day for most of the next 3 weeks at least.
And I think most importantly, you'll be well-rested, or at least relatively well-rested. You won't be staying up late for playoff games and then having to get up for work the next morning while you're also planning your, Thanksgiving or Christmas, whatever it is people do.
It's just so super weird, man. We haven't had this.
Don't enjoy this free time. I'm going to go Altuve on this and tell people what to do.
Be productive, Altuve.
You sit and you reflect on the mistakes you've made.
Yeah.
Okay, you sit in quiet contemplation during a three-hour window every night that there's a ALDS or ALCS game.
Yeah, man. I say we're putting a bow on it, but man, I'm probably still... You're right. I'm only at stage 3 on the emotional scale on this thing, of the 5 Kubler-Ross stages.
I'm going to hope...
Have more to process tomorrow.
All right, so the opposite of... when the Astros won their first World Series, you're kind of dealt a gut punch the next day when you find out that Deshaun Watson has a torn ACL.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
There was a very bittersweet moment when you think about the sum total of sports at that moment, because we were excited about Deshaun. He used to be a good and promising young quarterback.
He was the most promising young quarterback in that season.
Yeah.
Because Mahomes hadn't happened yet.
Right. So maybe the universe balancing itself out. Maybe now the Astros will be disappointed, and the Texans can all of a sudden get in gear.
It could that be the would be moment great. Where, oh, okay, I see what you're
like,
saying.
Okay, they like start hitting inverse. Me up instead of having the one season kind of dashed in the dreams thrown across the turf. Then yeah, this will be everything comes in waves.
Okay, Charles. I like where your head's at there. All right, so text in. What do you plan on doing with this newfound free time that you have? Albert Breer yesterday. Teams involved in Devontae Adams market have become convinced that the Raiders star is focused on engineering a trade to the Jets. So these are teams that have been calling up the Raiders.
Yeah.
And the feedback they're getting, the smoke seems to be Kelly Green's smoke that they're getting.
It makes
back
way too much sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sometimes you get in trouble connecting the dots, but like, look, the Jets are an organization that has tried to bend over backwards to accommodate Aaron Rodgers. Nobody feels good about the offensive coordinator. I can't imagine anybody feels good about Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator in New York, but he's there because he's buds with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers asked for Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and got them.
Yeah.
Lazard is his go-to guy right now.
That's like, what would you like for dinner, Aaron? You're like, gruel and manure.
But where
please.
They're going to draw the line is at Devontae Adams.
Right.
I think it just makes way too much. The only hang-up, I think, is that just like it was in Aaron Rodgers going to Green Bay or going to New York the first time, it's that the Packers knew that the Jets really wanted Aaron Rodgers and that Aaron Rodgers wanted to go to the Jets. Likewise, now the Raiders know that Devontae Adams wants to go to the Jets, and they know that the Jets really want him. So does this end up being a long, drawn-out affair, or do they come up to something real quick?
Yeah, well, and I think the other difference with Adams and the other two guys that we named with Lazard and Cobb is this is going to come with a much higher cost.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like this, the Jets do need to sit down and think about this one. I feel like with Cobb and Lazard, although they paid Lazard a lot of money, but I feel like with both of them, they're like, all right, fine. If Aaron wants it, cool. Like, Devontae Adams is a big decision.
It was the part about having both of those guys, I think, is that we're, okay, we're going to pay Lazard a bunch of money, and we're going to have Randall Cobb for God knows what reason.
And let Hackett decide what they all do play to play.
Let Nathaniel Hackett be the mastermind. They'll do anything. The criticism of Saleh, even from Jets fans who are so beat down that they don't know up from down.
Yeah.
Like, the criticism of Saleh has been that he hasn't handled the mercurial Diva-like personality of Aaron Rodgers well enough.
Right.
Why are you not bending backwards for Aaron Rodgers? All of it. So, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
The Bills and the Steelers are among, this is according to Albert Breer, the Bills and the Steelers are among those who've inquired with Vegas on Adams, according to sources.
Yeah. The Steelers, boy.
He can go to Pittsburgh.
And that's the other side of this where I know, because people still will say, well, it's a trade. What control does he have over it? Okay, let's think about the Steelers and Brandon Ayuk, where it was all but a foregone conclusion that they had a deal in place. Ayuk just can sabotage any deal he wants. Likewise, Devontae Adams can sabotage any deal they want. And that's where it comes into, okay, would Devontae Adams want to go to play with Justin Fields or with Aaron Rodgers? You can make an argument for Justin Fields.
Or Josh Allen.
Or Josh Allen. Well, yeah, that's a whole nother.
Yeah.
So with the Steelers, I think the quarterback probably might be the difference there. Josh Allen, that's different. That's that might be tempting to him in a way that he didn't realize or think about.
Was available,
Schefter had reported that the two teams that Devontae Adams really wanted to go to were the Jets, or at least two of the teams at the top of his list were the Jets or the Saints.
Okay.
Because of Derek Carr.
Oh, we're back on that train again, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now, the Saints have come down to earth in the last couple weeks after just putting on a fireworks show offensively.
They're 2-2 now. Remember that? They were the toast of the town after
and
2 weeks.
And they've been stuck in molasses offensively after they destroyed the Cowboys. The Jets still make the most sense. The Bills seem like the team that would be maybe one that Devontae wasn't even really thinking about, but the fact that they would come after him aggressively, you'd have to think harder.
Washington is still the one to me that super intrigues me, mostly because the earliest it could come back to hurt the Texans is if they met the Commanders in the Super Bowl. Yeah. They don't play the Commander. This Commander's offense is, it's going to come back to earth at some point, but to what degree? Like, it's crazy how good Jaden Daniels has been
playing.
I think
the thing about the Bills is that the reason that I don't think they'd bring in Devontae Adams is that Stephon Diggs isn't on that team anymore. And it's, I would say, interpersonal stuff aside, the way the Bills operated this last offseason, they were hitting the reset button. And they've got some salary stuff they want to clean up before they can get really aggressive again. I don't think it makes sense for them, given the way they've operated, to think that, okay, this 30, is he 30 or 31?
He's 32.
That 32-year-old receiver on a one-year rental is the move we want to make right now. I'd be surprised if they really, if they went aggressively after him.
They don't have issues offensively right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Bills, I mean, I know they didn't look great against the Ravens, but they're moving the football. They found a running game with James Cook.
Yeah, you know? I think there's part of it, though, where if they're looking at themselves objectively, and I say this as not to say that they're a bad team or anything, there's some things both offensively and defensively that I don't think they can sustain over a season to where I still think that they're probably, I think they're probably still operating in a reset mode.
Yeah.
Well, although they are making inquiries, apparently.
Yep. This was Jordan Schultz, noted NFL reporter, talking about things he's hearing out of Jacksonville right now.
If you're Doug Peterson, a Super Bowl winning coach, you need to look in the mirror, in my opinion, and take responsibility. I'll leave you with this. I've talked to a few guys in that locker room over the last 2 weeks, not just the Texans game, but the last couple weeks, and they've told me that that locker room is gone in regards to the head coach. So when I hear that, I hear, again, a team in a franchise that is absolutely rudderless.
Rudderless.
This is the trouble I have with...
That was on Warren Sharp's podcast, by the way.
I always have a trouble with people saying that a locker room has lost or a coach has lost the locker room. Because to genuinely know that, you'd have to pull every single player in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I defy you to find a single NFL team in the last 5 decades who at any given moment doesn't have 3 or 4 veterans who hate the head coach. Like, that's just
even
the way.
D'Amico?
Steven Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So, or who feel they've been wronged by the head coach.
I get what you're saying.
There's always somebody that's disgruntled.
There's dysfunction everywhere.
Yeah, I shouldn't say hate, but is they feel like he's not the guy or whatever. There's always somebody.
That's reasonable.
You got a room full of alpha males that all feel like they should be the starter. There's always somebody that's disgruntled. So I would take that with a grain of salt. I just looking at it, if I'm the Jaguars, I wonder how many players in the team aren't actually just thinking, I can't believe they paid Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is the guy they paid. And that doesn't go down to Doug Peterson as much as it does on Belky, the
Belky,
GM.
Yeah.
I feel like there's probably, and the other thing too about the guys that would tell reporters that they have locker room issues or that the head coach has lost the team, feels like a lot of times those are like the very guys that are also cancers.
Yes.
Like, keep it freaking in-house. Like, who the hell are you talking to? Who? Jordan Schultz?
Jordan Schultz.
To be talking about dirty laundry? The messenger in those situations, a lot of the times, I just naturally distrust the messenger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Final segment. We'll hand it over to In the Loop. Let's put a bow on this Astros season. What are we going to do with ourselves the next few weeks? Let's get Joe Espada's assessment of things. Is he a little too flowery when it comes to how this whole season went? And what happens with Alex Bregman? We'll touch on all those things coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
The last time there was an ALCS without the Astros in it was back in 2016. It was Cleveland against Toronto. It's been an incredible run, the 0-1. And this should end the run. And that'll do it. The Motel Magic continues. The Tigers sweep the Astros 5-2, and they will move to the American League Series.
It was just such a whimpery way to go out, man. Getting a lead late in the game, then blowing the lead big time, and just losing to the Tigers, scoring 3 runs in 2 games, man. They went out with very little fight offensively.
They went out with a whimper?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. I think so.
You hadn't phrased it like that just yet. That makes it hurt all that
much. Do you agree
much
with me?
I mean, all the greater, yes.
3 runs in 2 days.
It goes back to one thing I've always said about why I hate these 3-game series. It's that it points during the Astros championship runs, there's times where the bats go dry.
Yeah.
Even when the bats were much more fearsome and formidable than they have been this year. It just happens, and that's when you can lean on your pitching and the depth of your pitching.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies World Series, like the depth of the pitching matters. And this 3-game series... In a way, it erases some of that advantage. I mean, you're able to use Blanco as a piggyback guy, so it shows up there. But I say that not as a way of taking credit away from AJ Hinch and the Tigers. Hell of a three-game series by them. That was very impressive.
Yeah.
I thought AJ Hinch's strategy versus Framber was probably that won them the series mm-hmm. right there. It really did. Mm-hmm. That gave them that three-run advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just very, very frustrating. And to go out in the wild card round after being to so many ALCSs, I feel like that's the ultimate insult.
Yeah.
You didn't even get the ALDS.
No, man. We didn't even get a series against Cleveland. We won't get to see the Yankees this year. It's a bummer. It's a big-time bummer. Here was Joe Espada. I suppose if you're going to want to feel good about the season, Espada's the right guy to go to. I feel like Espada could get feeling. He can come up with an optimistic slant on anything. Here was Joe Espada saying, it was a hell of a season.
I want our guys to be proud of how far we've come. Like, it was a very challenging season. And, you know, we reached the postseason, something that that's our goal every year. It's we win the division and then play deep into the playoffs. And it didn't happen for us this year. But I want our guys to be proud of their resiliency and how tough this season was and how, you know, we're just talking in there about, you know, you got Jordan playing with an injured knee. And, you know, we trying to figure out ways to piece it together throughout the whole entire season. Injuries, young pitchers coming up and stepping up, young players coming up and being part of the process that we have in place, right? There's so many great things that we did that I don't want us to hang our head down just because of the way the season ended. No, we should be proud of what we accomplished and how we did it. I think the process is important.
Okay. That's tough, man. That's tough when the standard is the ALCS every year.
Well, and Espada came in and was right from the get-go plagued with a bunch of the best players on the team playing like the worst players in baseball.
Yeah.
Really, Espada being saddled with Jose Abreu.
That's a big
and having
one.
To talk his way around all of
That's
that.
That's a big one.
If Espada were being 100% honest about this, in stark contrast to back when he said, we can't get to where we want to go without Jose Abreu on the roster.
Maybe it turned out he was right.
Yeah, maybe he was right. Maybe with
maybe,
Jose Abreu.
Maybe missing Abreu is why they're not in an ALCS.
You know, it was awesome in September and October last year.
Yeah.
Abreu.
One Jose Abreu.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, if you were going to tell the whole truth about everything, it's that, man, everything was going wrong, including the fact that I had to figure out a way to keep Abreu. Not get Abreu out of the lineup. How do I keep Abreu in the lineup?
Because it's boss's orders.
Yeah,
right?
That's a tough spot to
it's
be
tough,
in. So
yeah.
It was, boy, with a if you reset expectations, if you say, all right, if I'm an average Major League Baseball team and this is the season the Astros just had, I think there'd be a lot of reasons for optimism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because the Astros have not just been an average baseball team, they've got some things working against them in terms of big contracts that are on the books and free agents who are leaving. This isn't Alex Bregman after his second season and the team turned the corner. This is Alex Bregman, the free agent. That's where it's a lot harder to just say like, oh, hey, let's reset it and think this is a good place to build from.
You have aging roster problems now.
Aging
like
roster
back,
problems
back
without
end
the pipeline,
of the window problems.
Without the pipeline that you did back in 2017.
Yeah, yeah. And they're solvable they're solvable to the extent that you can remain a really good baseball team. I don't know that they're solvable to the extent that you're the 2019 Astros again. Mm-hmm. And I know they didn't win the World Series, but that was the best version of the Astros that I recall during this run here.
You know who probably is handling the best right now?
Who?
People in the oil and gas industry. Our friend Wallace,
yes,
who's a petroleum engineer,
yeah,
who became a petroleum engineer back in the, was it the 70s when everything was...
The 80s. He's a child of the 80s, yeah.
In the 80s when everything was booming, and then all of a sudden, people left the petroleum engineering field en masse. There were hardly any of the OGs left after a while, and then all of a sudden, it swung back up.
And
people in oil and gas, they have to ride these waves up and down, and you feel like, okay, we might be... You go from a stage where anybody and everybody is making money hand over fist to like, oh, I got to really start working again. Like, it's going to be harder to earn a buck.
Yeah.
That's where it feels like with the Astros right now. Like, man, they can do it, but they got to really work to earn that buck.
You're starting – all the assets that Jeff Luhnow left you are starting to dwindle or age or both.
Yeah.
So there's that.
People that got into the real estate industry in 2006 – they're like, it's mortgage broking. It's why any idiot can make money. And then all of a sudden, all right, talk to me in 2008. How's it going?
Are you
going to
do the mortgage equivalent of the ALCS every year?
There's people that were still making a good living, but they had to work a lot harder at it. That's where the Astros are right now.
Here was Jose Altuve, who yesterday did not want to even think about the idea of Alex Bregman having played his last game as an Astro.
I don't want to get to the idea of thinking about last game with Breggy. Like I said 2 weeks ago, I'm pretty confident that he's going to be our third baseman next year. We have to. He's, you know, we're not going to be the same organization without him. So in my mind, there's not a chance that this is the last game.
Okay. So Altuve, a little bit of denial there. I like it. And one more from Altuve. This is where Altuve went from denial, not wanting to think about it, to basically telling Jim Crane and Alex Bregman, this is how it's going
to
be.
He means a lot. He gave a lot to this organization. So now it's time for us to, as a team, as an organization, to pay him back and make him stay here.
I mean,
make him stay here. Yeah, that's on both sides there.
I'm picturing
he's saying, all right, let's cut out the BS.
That scene from The Godfather where they describe, you know, getting Johnny Fontaine under contract and they held a gun to the head of that Hollywood producer and they're like, look, either your signature or your brains are going to be on this contract, buddy.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah.
And have a poor Bregman sitting there in a chair.
What's the Spanish word for BS that I can say on the radio? That's basically what he said. He said, cut the BS.
BS.
Whatever the equivalent is, okay? Yeah. Going for cut the crap.
Yes, in Spanish.
If that's a phrase that they use in Spanish.
Do you want to take a stab at what my the Pender poll that I put up earlier has to say about Bregman staying here? I'll read it again.
Yeah, get to it. Cut the tonteras. Tonterias.
Pender poll. For Astro fans, would you give Alex Bregman the Matt Chapman contract? 6 years, $151 million. We are 757 votes in. How many do you think said yes, we would give him that contract?
I think 535 said yes.
But what percentage is that?
I think that works out to about 70%.
Yeah, so about 70. Yeah, a little over 70 probably. Right. 75.4%. Ben, can I give my man a ding here? Thank you. Yeah. 75.4%.
That actually, that's about what it felt. Now I wonder what it would have been like if Bregman had slumped through the playoffs and through September, like if he hadn't had that surge.
Yeah, it's, you know, the playoffs are funny because they only played two games.
I know.
Kyle Tucker's 0-7 resonates more for me than anything Bregman did or didn't do in these two games.
Yeah.
You know? Because we just know there's a lot more that comes with Bregman, the player, than comes with Kyle Tucker. I mean, Kyle Tucker's a more talented player probably than Alex Bregman, but there's more extra in a good way that comes with Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
A few people weighed in on what they're going to do with their spare time now that the Astros are out of the postseason. You know, theoretically, you've got at least a dozen or so days where you've got four extra hours you weren't going
to. Reginald went and bought a bandana.
He did.
I like it.
Yeah. That was good.
I already had this. This was.
You're going to buy more of them now, though.
Yeah, you had the time to rummage through and find the bandana for today.
Let's see. Someone says
bandana color. I couldn't pull off a bandana or color coordinating it with my T-shirt.
Someone said I'm going to spend time bottling my tears.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy just says I'm going to grind my ass off.
Yeah, baby.
I like
that's
your
right,
spirit.
That's right.
Dude.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Grind. Get out there and grind.
As opposed to other anatomy, right?
Right. Right.
Bregman's in the cage right now.
Yeah. Someone says on here they're going to be watching the Yankees still choke in the postseason.
Yeah, okay.
That's about the only reason left for me to watch baseball.
Hate watching the Yankees has got some appeal right now. I need to
see.
I need to see Judge put in the quintessential Judge playoffs performance.
I'll be resisting the urge of self harm and alcoholism while the constant internal dialogue of "we suck" is on replay in my head.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, man. Yankee fans didn't even get a chance to chant, "We want Houston." We didn't even get that far in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, they're going to be saying something like, "We don't have to be concerned with Houston."
Yeah, it's the worst chant ever.
"We don't have to be concerned
with
Houston."
It's a horrible chant. Yeah, yeah.
And yet that's the one they came up with.
There's no flow to it at all.
"Houston is of no consequence to us for the remainder of this season."
Yeah, yeah. And then over and over again.
Yeah.
I'll be in the deer stand now. I've missed October hunting for the last few years.
Oh, there you go.
Probably a lot of John Lopez's out there, the outdoorsy people that are like, yeah, you know what?
Take it out on the deer. The deer were like, oh, crap. But their deer on deer leases all over Texas yesterday. They're like,
the deer showing his other
criminy.
Deer. The deer showing the other deer push notifications. Yeah. Like, look, be ready. Gonna be some gunfire
that
coming.
That explains all those deer I saw wearing Astros jerseys.
We're running for the hills at about 5:30 yesterday.
What can I do? Buy an Altuve jersey. You never shoot me then.
To Detroit.
Yes.
I'm glad we can all laugh about this today, right?
We laugh to keep from crying,
that's
right?
That's absolutely right. Man. Yeah, that's absolutely right. What are you guys going to do with all the spare time that you have now?
Well, I'd like to lie and say that I'll actually get time to read, but then I'll divert it to
some other
interest.
I lied earlier and said that. We'll see if I can.
I have just like a tub of books that I have not bought a bookshelf for just yet that I need to get into, and yet still basketball season's coming, so it'll probably just go.
Yeah. I had thought about like just blocking out, like literally sitting down while the ALDS was going on in the games the Astros would have been in.
Yeah.
And as soon as that game starts, find something productive to do that I wouldn't have been able to do before.
Grind tape?
Well, that's what Seth's going to do. He's going to grind tape.
Yeah, well, which is actually watch the highlights of other NFL games. Like the long
you're
going to
be grinding
highlights.
Tape, buddy. You're going to be grinding that tape.
But yeah, that's grinding tape.
Yeah.
Running it back and forth.
I have some fairly mindless books that I've been waiting to read. Like you, I mean, Reggie, you had a tub of books. I'm not going to say they're mindless. I don't know what books they are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I've got
I'm the
ones,
jerk who tries to read mindful books.
Yeah, no, dude. I've
you
got
and Seth.
I've got like biographies of people from WWE that I haven't read yet. You know,
that's
I've got
good
a,
stuff.
I've got a
that's
Sopranos book that I still
Sean,
haven't read yet.
This is the old. You ever seen the Eisenhower boxes of time management?
No.
One of the boxes, the second box, is stuff that you should be doing all the time to improve yourself and things that have kind of like a long-term payout.
Yeah.
And like one of those for me is reading.
Yeah.
So I try to. My reading doesn't change whether the Astros are in or out of the playoffs. It's something I have to do every day for betterment and everything. So, but now is a good opportunity where you do have a little extra free time. You should start that habit.
And maybe if I become a better person through reading these books about wrestlers and mobsters, I should do it, make it part of my regular routine.
No, it is, because you become a more... Your job isn't to talk about sports. Your job is to be interesting.
Yeah.
So it's something that is improving you in terms of being more well-rounded and everything.
What have I been doing?
You know, I've been thinking about this the whole time you guys have been talking, and I've come to the realization it really I've watched the Astros on my boat, I've watched the Astros in my office, I've watched the Astros in
Dr.
various
Seuss
places
book here.
I've gone
that's
to
right.
some, you know, but what I'm saying is like it really isn't going to affect the only thing that's missing is I'm not going to be watching the Astros while I'm doing these things. You know what I mean?
You're fine. There's nothing new you're going to be doing.
Well, the only thing that I thought about as you were talking also is I always had a built-in excuse for those events that you're kind of lukewarm on.
I said that earlier.
The Astros might be playing.
And it's my job.
You're right. There's a lot of right. gatherings,
well, the
podcasts.
Rockets there. So the Rockets being on the... Okay, let's
but it's all preseason basketball until the
22nd. Yeah, right. Yeah. Guess how interesting preseason basketball is
it's
about to be.
It's my job.
Unless you're a sick human.
Yeah.
Which
you don't want to go to parties you get invited to.
That's the only thing I'm like, well, basketball to worry about.
Could be playing. I don't know.
My big takeaway from this is if somebody asks Reggie to go to a party, he's freaking going to the party. He doesn't care.
Yeah, it's possible, but I also might just be implementing the Eisenhower Matrix now. That might be my time now.
Yes. All right, fellas. Big one today. So we're looking forward to listening. You're listening to KILT and KILT HD2, an Odyssey station. Seth, antibodies and a football Friday.
It's a magnificent bandana. I got to go get
it.
Bandana
pulls that off.
That
is a great look.
Well, I don't want to steal your... It's not your thing, though.
Yeah, I don't own it.
He does wear them a lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's true. Yeah. All right, I'll find something else. Right. Ascot.
Ooh, bolo tie.
Bolo tie. Yes, bring it. All right, we're done. We're out of time. You're listening to KLT, KLT HD2 on Odyssey Station. Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. They're in the loop and they start now.
Yeah, you're damn right we start now. In the loop, Sports Radio 610. In fact, earlier I was comparing Seth to Bill Walton.
And so he does have a little Bill Walton quality.
Maybe tie-dye shirts.
Hell?
Yeah. It was all good.
Damn it, that's true, though.
It was all good. It was
yeah. Yeah, definitely have a quality. Yeah,
incredibly interesting human being, worldly, really laid back. Although
fried out of my mind.
I've often said that. And then when you get to those spaces, you can go off on folks. Yes. I was cheering you on, Art. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
Exactly.
That was a good time.